You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. And today, that routine includes celebrating a 108-94 Celtics win over the San Antonio Spurs. We are the reigning Jays, John Corrales, along with Sam Jam Packard and our usual post-game podcast. Lots to get to. As Sam said just before we started recording, this game had everything.
Yeah, a little bit for everyone. You had some Kyrie domination. You had a nice Tito three sticks run. You had Jason Tatum just struggling, but still making an impact. Yabu made a three. Semi was doing some things. Production all around. You had a Marcus Smart heave. Aaron Baines was a tough guy. I mean, what more can you ask for? Five-game winning streak for the Celtics. First time they beat the Spurs since 2011 when Jason Tatum was 13 years old, which is absolutely absurd.
That is ridiculous.
A great win for the Celtics, and they might have something here with this, you know, talent and winning basketball they keep putting together.
Yeah, let's just start there. That after 6 minutes of the season, and Hayward is, you know, sitting there with an injury that's so gross that half the arena is turning away, we're all sitting there thinking like, oh, geez, now what? And all the Celtics did was... Okay, they lost that game, and they blew a fourth quarter lead in game two, and now they've whipped off five straight wins. It could be six if they had any sort of answer in the fourth quarter of that second game against Milwaukee, but here they are at 5-2. They've got the best record in the Eastern Conference, and really a half game behind Memphis for the best record. Obviously, he's after seven games, but best record in the NBA. So this is interesting. Look at what they're doing. They're getting scoring from a lot of different places. Let's just look at this box score tonight. 24 from Kyrie. That's what he's supposed to do. Then you get 18 from Jaylen Brown in a game where initially it felt like he was struggling. You get 14 points out of Al Horford. You get 7 out of Tatum on a night where he did struggle. Smart chips in with 9. Terry Rozier magically chips in with 12 of his own after looking very bad for a stretch. Semi Ojeleye, 7 points. Aaron Baines, 6. Tice, 6. The only person who didn't score was poor Shane Larkin. Sorry, Shane. But everyone else chipped in with something. The Celtics, 108 points. They hold the Spurs, who were on a back-to-back. Hold the Spurs.
And four games in 5 nights.
Yes. So this was... probably a schedule loss, but still, 94 points. The Celtics defense kicks in again. 41% shooting for the Spurs. Everything kind of came up Milhouse tonight. Everything worked for the Celtics, even when certain things weren't working. When something like Rozier going on a weird, bad stretch where it was like 0-4 in 20 seconds, something else happens that somebody else steps up. Until Rozier or other people can get back on track. So whatever it is, whatever magic potion that Brad Stevens has pulled together, it's working.
I think especially in the first half, this is the best the Celtics offense has looked the entire night. Kyrie was spectacular. This his first half, I mean, his ending point total, 24, doesn't really do justice because the Celtics didn't need his scoring in the second half, but in the first half, they definitely did. And he took over the game and was just getting to the basket when he wanted to. He was making threes. He was doing a lot of great playmaking, and this was the kind of the most exciting point. His passing, his ability to find guys with pocket passes in the pick and roll, especially that crazy one, like one-handed pass off to Tice for the jam. Kyrie was just dynamic tonight, and all of his creating, him and Horford in the pick and roll have really developed a great chemistry, and I just think they looked crisper in their passing tonight and with much better ball movement. There was that other sequence where Kyrie, there was a pick and roll. Kyrie found Horford, kicked it back out to Smart, who found Kyrie. Defense was scrambling, who got it right back to Horford for a dunk. It just felt like they're really getting the swing of kind of the motion offense that Brad Stevens is trying to implement. And you know what? It was just very impressive to see kind of Kyrie firing on all cylinders. And I was most impressed. I mean, yeah, it was nice to see him kind of make the baskets and it was nice to see him hit the threes, but I was very impressed by the six assists. And I'm actually surprised there weren't more. He actually lost out on some. I think Marcus missed a dunk, and then there was another time where he had the assist, and then I think Nader missed a layup and then got his own putback. He could have had more assists tonight. I just think the passing from Kyrie Irving, being the floor general, was the most impressive thing about this victory.
This is obviously, very obviously, Kyrie Irving's best game in Boston so far. Again, seven games, so a lot to build on. We've seen a slow progression from Kyrie Irving. The beginning, a little slow. Then he started to take over little stretches. And then today, I really think this game, it started with Kyrie just being explosive right away. And like you said, the first half. His first half numbers tell the whole story. 16 of his 24 came in the first half. 7 of 10 shooting. Five assists all in the first half. So he was the catalyst. And a lot of that stuff that the Celtics were doing well came off of Kyrie being really, really good. And I think one thing that we need to... I guess... How can I say this the right way? This game showed us that it's a long progression for Kyrie, who came to a new team, who started with Hayward by his side and was expecting to play a certain way and was geared up to play a certain way because Gordon Hayward on this team changes so much of what Kyrie is expected to do, asked to do, how he plays on the floor just with Hayward next to him, all of those things. Then Hayward goes down and he has to readjust. And not only is he Kyrie who came over from Cleveland, who left LeBron, and he has to do something new and he has to be the man, but how does he do that here with with Hayward? Now he's got to readjust again and he's got to be more of, in quotes, the man, and he has to do it in a way that also integrates guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and others, Smart, Ojale. The Celtics' success requires those other guys to step up. The Celtics aren't going to be any good if Tatum doesn't step up, if Brown doesn't step up, and the only way for those guys to do it is to get touches. Jaylen Brown needs to get touches and get going early and get that confidence built. Jason Tatum needs to get that confidence built. So Kyrie has this new role, a new style of play, and it's a progression. And today we saw him start out saying, all right, I'm going to carry us in the beginning. And then after I set everything up and have the defense overreacting to me, then everybody else can go do their thing, which I think today's game might be most indicative of how the Celtics succeed going forward. They succeeded today in a way that was much different than they succeeded in other games. And I think if we're looking for kind of a blueprint for the Celtics' success, I think today might be more indicative than any other game we've seen so far.
I mean, opening up the second half on a 10-2 run and having Kyrie Irving score 8 points in 2 minutes is a very good blueprint for winning basketball.
Sure.
But I would agree with you. I think the kind of earlier wins that we saw where it was Tatum and Brown having a huge games, that's not something you're going to be able to rely on consistently just because they're young. They're 19 and 21. So you're going to – having the kind of Kyrie and Horford playing the two-man game and being your main facilitators for scoring is clearly the Celtics' blueprint. And we just got to give Al Horford credit tonight for, you know, 14, 13, and 5 and just playing tremendous defense the entire time on LaMarcus Aldridge, who's basically the best player on the Spurs at this point. But you're right. I think that the against these worst teams, and I want to kind of hedge everything we're saying about the Celtics. That's been a very good 5-game winning streak, but they haven't played, like, their opponents haven't been that great, and we haven't really seen a true test. And who knows what a true test is in this league right now, because the Orlando Magic are, like, 4-2 and going to the playoffs, apparently, and the Detroit Pistons are a great team. So it's hard to tell what their competition level has been. The Spurs team, obviously, without Kawhi, is not as talented. But I think you're right. The blueprint of just letting Kyrie kind of get comfortable and dictate the entire offense, playing, doing the pick and roll at the top of the key with Al, and having players on the surrounded to make plays like Brown tonight, like Tatum. We can see that Smart can do it, and Rozier. Brad really likes going to those three-guard lineups, and I think they make the team kind of very dynamic. So I was impressed. It was just an all-around good night from the Celtics, and every single person contributed except for Shane Larkin. Sorry, Shane.
Our apologies to Shane Larkin. Before we continue, because I want to get into this Al Horford thing, he's just so awesome. I do want to let people know that the Locked On Podcast Network does include not only the NBA, but also the NFL. If you are listening to us and you're in Boston, you're a Patriots fan, big news tonight that the Patriots traded Jimmy Garoppolo. So we have the Locked On Patriots podcast as part of our network. If you're a Patriots fan and you saw this news break in the middle of the game, it's big enough news where Abby Chin in the middle of the game reported it. Check out the Locked On Patriots podcast, because they will be breaking down the entire thing. The pick that they got back, what does this mean? Who's going to be the backup quarterback? Is it going to be me? Is it going to be Jay? Is it going to be Sam? I mean, we're all trying out now because there's no backup quarterback for the Patriots. So check out the Locked On Patriots podcast. They will break down the second biggest news of the night, which, behind the Celtics beating the Spurs, obviously, that's the biggest news of the night. But behind that is Jimmy G getting traded out of the Patriots, going to San Francisco. So please check out the Locked On Patriots podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Or if you're a fan of other teams, the NFL, we have every NFL team covered as well.
Shouts to Jimmy Garoppolo for being a very attractive man.
Yes.
He started 2 games as well. So there's that.
There's that.
There's the other thing I wanted to bring up while we were talking all about the offense. I was really impressed by Kyrie Irving's defense tonight. I still think he struggles a little bit, like finishing through screens or getting through screens. And playing against DeJounte Murray, where you can just go under every time, is definitely easier for him. But I think he's been doing a great job. And it feels like this is something Brad just said moments ago about Kyrie. It just looks like he's more comfortable on defense. He's generated a lot of steals getting his hands on the basketball. And I think it's one of the major reasons for the Celtics' success is their team defense, is their ability to generate turnovers. This is something Jay and I were talking about yesterday, but I think Kyrie has been a defensive plus. That's not something you would expect him to say. That's not something that all the I'm just remembering all the wars on Twitter between who's better, Kyrie, Isaiah, last year, and just like how much we talk about Kyrie's defense there. This is not something, a position I think I would claim, but I think he's been a really good job. And again, caveat, the Celtics haven't played really any great guards or any guards who are really great shooters, but I think he's doing a very good job. And we saw that tonight with 3 steals, 1 block. It's a reason why the Celtics can get out in transition, and that's where they're really excelling. So shouts to Kyrie for the defensive effort tonight.
Yeah, you know what? When I did my halftime Periscope, or even throughout the game on Twitter, people are saying, you know, what the hell's the deal with Kyrie's defense? Like, he still has lapses, like you said, you know, the pick and rolls. He still has – there was a timeout that Brad Stevens called, I want to say it was in the first half, late in the first half, where Kyrie didn't get back down on the floor. And because he was the last defender, San Antonio missed a shot. LaMarcus Aldridge got a put back, and it was an opportunity for Kyrie, if he had run the floor, to at least put a body on or chip him or something to prevent that put back. And you could see Brad Stevens demonstratively waving Kyrie, like, come on, get all the way down. You got to move. You got to move. So, look, they played Kyrie 30 minutes tonight. So that's not a ton for Kyrie. That's not a big night offensively, I mean, minutes-wise. So I think Brad Stevens, first of all, Brad Stevens connects with players in a way that most players, most coaches don't. And I think he is getting Kyrie to buy into a little bit more effort on the defensive end. Kyrie is a very talented, athletic young man who can play good defense if he wants to, or at least play adequate defense if he wants to. He's not like Isaiah, who, no matter how much he wants to, and last season we saw him try a lot, and sometimes it worked out, but because of his size, he was just never going to be a great defender. But he tried really hard. Kyrie was not a great defender because he didn't try. And by trying, he's actually doing some of these things. Three steals and a block tonight on the defensive end. That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice. And all he has to do is do it enough. We're not asking him to be Avery Bradley. So that's enough. So I will echo those sentiments that defensively he's showing more than we expected. And it's also a function of the bar was so low that any sort of defensive results from Kyrie were going to be good and noticeable.
Well, so, yeah, we spent months slandering him, so any sort of positive impact is going to be surprising. But
absolutely.
And I think it's also a product of just the fact that the team is playing really good defensively, and they're really long, and they're much bigger than they were in past years. I mean, Jason Tatum ended up with 7 points, because he's able to hit some threes late, but he really struggled early. But he still had 11 rebounds, 3 blocks. Horford had 10 defensive rebounds. Baynes is huge. Like, the Celtics are doing just their team defense is doing a really good job of limiting the other team. So if there is any deficiency with Kyrie, there's going to be players there to back him up. I just really like the kind of how athletic and how just the size of the Celtics defense. And I think that's one of the major reasons why they're playing so well. They took this huge lead in the third quarter. It's really kind of sealed the game for them because they only allowed the 18 points from the Spurs. And the Spurs were actually hitting their threes tonight. The Spurs were shot 45% from, or 46% from deep. So that wasn't necessarily the Celtics' Achilles heel there. They're still able to play solid defense, even against the team that was making their threes. So I think it's the kind of the entire team concept that's really propelling the Celtics into this 5-game winning streak. It's been solid every single night. I think the fact that they're just huge now, they just got a bunch of strong boys, I think it helps.
Yeah, no, and you know what? I keep going back to Danny Ainge recently on the Bob Ryan podcast talking about rebounding and how the length overall is going to help at all positions. The length overall is helping them doing things like when you're playing good defense, defensive rebounding is a big, big part of it. The Celtics out-rebounded. Not only did they out-rebound the Spurs, it was 54-40. The defensive rebounds, 39-28. So they, when you grab a miss, that is a stop. That is a huge part of playing defense. And last year, when the Celtics defense wasn't good, their actual defensive ability was good last season. What they were terrible at was defensive rebounding. And they played 20 seconds or so of really good defense, they forced the miss, and the other team would just swoop in and grab a rebound and then score. And that hurts not only the defensive rebound, it also hurts the overall defensive rating. So I think the Celtics are doing a lot of the same things on defense this year, but they're closing out possessions by grabbing misses and going out and getting into transition and starting their own offense. So that's a big difference. And I got to give a shout out. You guys talked about it yesterday. We've been talking about it. Al Horford has been a monster this season. And the fact that there was even any sort of average Al discussion, any sort of blow up this season, is remnants of people being idiots. Al Horford today was great. Effing great. 14 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. But look at LaMarcus Aldridge, who has had a really good season so far. But 5 of 13, 11 points, just 5 rebounds, a minus 19. That is a huge, huge, huge defensive performance. Because, like you said, Aldridge has been their best player. And that is another indication that Al Horford has been playing monster defenses here. In fact, so this isn't a sponsored day, but we're talking about our friends at Draft, and you and I are locked in a battle tonight on Draft. And when we were doing our draft today, I looked at LaMarcus Aldridge and I said, you know what? I'm not going to pick LaMarcus because he's going up against the Celtics and Al Horford. And I think he's due for a bad night against that defense. I ended up going with Kristaps Porzingis, who, by the way, had 38 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, and a monster fantasy night for me. But part of the reason why I chose Porzingis was I knew LaMarcus Aldridge was going against Al Horford and this Celtics defense, and I didn't think he was going to do well.
Yeah, if you just go down the list of the players that Horford has kind of shut down, is Ben Simmons, who everyone says is rookie of the year. Hashtag not my rookie of the year.
Not my rookie. Not even a rookie. I heard that.
Even a rookie, but we won't get into that. LaMarcus Aldridge, Kristaps Porzingis. He did a great job on Giannis. He's done a really good job defending the opposing team's forwards. And it might just be a product of the kind of the teams the Celtics have played. Another thing I'd mentioned, but his defense has been severely underrated. The idea that he is average is one of the laziest takes that anyone's ever had. And it's really just because of alliteration that, like, you would end up calling someone Average Al. It's a bad take. It's mostly coming from Lou Maloney, who I used to work with, used to produce his radio show. I like Lou Maloney. He doesn't know anything about basketball. he's getting some blowback because someone said he should just stick to baseball. No, he should just stick to not having bad takes, like, or just being more informed. But Al Horford is anything but average. It's just a silly opinion. And it's mostly just something I feel like you say because you want people to call in upset with how wrong you are.
Right.
It's a Felgarian take. It's absurd. But he's been great, and he's just consistently shutting people down. And even in the first quarter there, it feels like he's more – I don't know if it's just because it's earlier in the year or maybe he did something in the offseason, but – more explosive on offense. Like, he had that nice spin move into
that was so great.
And he's just been, I think, more aggressive. And maybe that's because he feel like the need to step up with Hayward not playing this year. But I just think he has been solid all around. So, shouts to anything but average Al Horford.
I think Al Horford's had such an amazing start to this season. He has been absolutely perfect for the Celtics this season. Just his start to the season has been so great. Like we said, defensively, he has stepped up offensively. The game in Milwaukee where he went off, that was the first 7 games of the season have been just fantastic for Al Horford. This is all-star level stuff that it's obviously early. And the caveat is, you know, if he continues to do this stuff, but the way Al Horford is playing, he's playing at an all-star level because he's doing it on both ends. He's doing basically everything the Celtics need. So this is a complete algasm night. And I'm here for Al Horford just being as aggressive as he's been. So Shouts to Al Horford. Al Horford's going to get a permanent place on Aaron Bain's big boat.
He might live there. It feels like he's destined to the way he's playing.
Jay called it a houseboat throughout the show yesterday.
We need to get some when you get on the same page there. Although I kind of like that Jay King just goes by he goes to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah, he's his own man. He's his own man. But it might be a houseboat because Al Horford's going to live there.
It is, and Aaron Bain said he would live on a houseboat. So there's many different themes coming together here. Eventually, you know what? It's only been 2 weeks. We'll get it. We'll figure it out.
We're figuring out our chemistry, too. It's a new thing. We've got new players. It's all going to work out. Speaking of Aaron Baines, who, if you look at the stat sheet, I said this on Twitter, I feel like Aaron Baines is stepping into the most important player. You know when we love to call a guy who doesn't put up a ton of stats, but always seems to be around good things that happen. We say, yeah, these other guys are the MVPs, but the most important player is this guy.
I feel like the Jay Crowder Memorial Award for most important Celtic.
Where people will always say that Draymond Green is the most important player on the Warriors, which, yeah, we get that. Like, it's not to that level, obviously not to that level, but Aaron Baines played, like, I don't even know how he only played 16 and a half minutes. That doesn't seem possible. But it felt like all 16 and a half minutes out there were super, super important. And sorry, Marcus Smart, but totally impacted winning.
You want to know why he only had to play 16 minutes is because there's another tall white who could fill in for 14 minutes with Daniel Tice. You put them together, Tice and Baines, they played 30 minutes and they had a double-double compared with 12 points and 11 boards. I think both of those guys have just done a very solid job of being just solid defenders, big bodies, getting rebounds, playing solid defense. I think Baines is a little more polished, a little more the guy you would want out there. But the stat that Jay mentioned yesterday about the Baines-Horford defensive pairing and just like they're, 77 points per possession?
Yeah.
Like, that is absurd there. You can really see the impact that Baines makes out there when he's on defense. He's just a hard-nosed dude. And I love the big dog last year. Amir Johnson, I thought he had a huge impact, but he's just – it's just not the same. Like, Aaron Baines is so much more physically imposing, and it just feels like something you need in a basketball team. You need big bruisers, and Baines and Tice combined to be the perfect, just like tall white force.
Sure, yeah. No, I think that Baines is a beast regardless, and I feel like Baines is just so typically Australian, just like the like shouts to Australia, all of our Australian friends. This is, if I'm gonna say this is a stereotype, but this is a great stereotype. Like, just like a big, hardworking, the guy, just his exercise regimen is like grabbing a sheep by the scruff and curling these big like, that's, you know, put the sheep down, drink a beer, go, you know, chop down a tree with a butter knife because you can, because you're so strong. Like, that's Aaron Baines. Like, that's just, he's a big, tough dude. And there's just, that's great. Like, but he's mobile. He's not slow. And as much as we like the big dog, he's much more mobile than Amir Johnson was. He can slide. He can move. He's quicker. He's faster.
He actually protects the rim.
Yes, he does. Now, Tice, I think, is a matchup-based type of guy, but he's also, we saw him block the shit out of Rudy Gay. And he's athletic. He's kind of like a pogo stick type of guy. He's a nice kind of like thunder and lightning type of combination with Aaron Baines, where Baines is just a big, tough, strong brick wall. And Tice is kind of like quicker, just springier, but both can do surprising things on offense. But I kind of like that combination. Like, Tice gave us 14 really good minutes, I thought. Blocked a couple of shots, 6 rebounds in 14 minutes. That's dope. That's a big night offense on the boards, I should say, for Tice. Just big contributions all around. So the Celtics have a front line that's defending, and then Baines and Tice are just giving you extra things. Man, this has been like a half hour of us gushing.
And we haven't even talked about Semi Ojeleye coming in and giving 22 minutes off the bench. He was in the first substitution. He was just very solid defensively all night. Like, Rudy Gay was the only Spur who was scoring with any kind of efficiency all night. And there's this one possession where Rudy Gay tried to move Ojeleye, and it's just like, you can't do that. He is an immovable object, or a movable force, whatever the saying is. You can't move Semi Ojeleye. And it's just been impressive, and it shows how much Brad Stevens trusted him just to play him 22 minutes tonight, have him be one of the first guys off the bench. I just thought he did a real solid job, and he's going to be a great perimeter defender because he adds to that kind of the bigs who can move. Like, who knew that these versatile 6'8 guys, who knew that this plan of just having a bunch of guys who could guard and were real strong would work? It feels like should maybe give some credit to Danny Ainge for putting together a solid roster right now, because, you know, they just have a lot. Like, their defense has really been impressive, and I think we have to give a lot of props to Semi for just refusing to move ever, except on his own court.
What Ojeleye is doing is probably as bad a game as you could have against Milwaukee at home in Boston. And he has bounced back in a big way. And I guess whatever he did to kind of learn his lesson and just, I think his footwork, he's much more disciplined in just sticking his chest out and keeping his hands back and sliding his feet. It's such little fundamental things, but his best defensive play against Milwaukee in Milwaukee against Giannis, he had his chest out, his shoulders back, his arms up, and he was sliding his feet and just wherever Giannis wanted to go, he ran into Ojeleye's numbers. And you're just not going to bump into Ojeleye and go anywhere besides backwards because he's so goddamn strong. So I think the biggest thing that Ojeleye has done is kept it simple. He's not overreacting. He's not trying to do too much. He's just staying in front of guys. He is putting his chest out, hands up, sliding his feet like everybody learns in freaking middle school when you're playing basketball, and he's doing it effectively. That's how you play. That's how you play basketball. What podcast was I listening to?
It was, I bet it was one of the fine programmings found on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yes, it was. I forget who it was, and I'm not going to be able to give person proper credit, but it was a very simple, it was a former player who basically said, look, if you want to get minutes, play defense. Oh, no, it wasn't a podcast. My apologies. It was Sam Mitchell on NBA TV before the game because I was on a bus getting home and I'm streaming NBA TV. It was Sam Mitchell who said simply, rookies, if you want to get on the floor, play defense. It's a simple message, and it's perfect for Ojeleye. Play defense, you're going to stay on the floor. And that's how Ojeleye got 21 minutes, 22 minutes. Okay? He hit a couple of shots. He played nicely. He had 7 points and all that stuff. But he got 4 rebounds, and he played good defense. And he stayed on the floor because of that. So that's just how you do it. And it's very simple. So shout out to Semi for that.
All right, you want to get to some Rain and Jay's hashtags before we wrap it up with the junk drawer?
Yeah, Rain and Jay's hashtags. Let's do that. Let's start at the top here. Jovian Shadow, talking about getting the shower. Shout out to people taking showers, listening to the podcast. Lawrence, I'm going to leave this up to you, Sam. The question, very simply, did you get a Terry ejaculation tonight? That's oddly graphic.
Yeah, that one's a little bit worse than the phrase "algasm," but I definitely was excited for that crazy 8-point run in the what was that, the fourth quarter there. It feels like I jinxed Tito early in the game. He made his first layup, and I said, oh, man, he's shout out to whoever taught him to finish. And then he had that terrible stretch where he just missed a finger roll and then another missed one. And then early on in that fourth quarter, he was missing shots too. I like the fact that he just kept shooting through it. He started off with actually just like a nice dribble move, mid-range pull-up jumper, and then hit an open three. And then the best one was the kind of the low crossover step-back three. Nailed it immediately into a steal and then a layup. Of course, that didn't go down smoothly, but that's just how Tito rolls. So I think, Lawrence, I'm not going to repeat your phrasing, but I may have.
This is, so at JLSmooth 2021, this is very reminiscent of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The gang tries desperately to win an award where they go to a bar and they, you know, the phrasing is, better than an orgasm. This drink is better than an orgasm. And so they try to, I'm trying to not to over explain the joke, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. So Mac, Lawrence, you're Mac. You're Mac in this whole thing. And Mac tries to recreate it and says, here, our signature drink is Caribbean somewhere. It's better than busting a nut.
Oh, man, that's a great television show.
That is, you guys, The Gang Tries Desperately to Win an Award is one of the best episodes of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which I fucking love that show. I know Sam loves that show. It is the goddamn best show ever. That is one of the best episodes. Go look that up. Go look for it. That's exactly what that was. The Terry Jaculation is the busting a nut to Algasm in this whole scenario. So thanks, JL Smooth, for getting way too specific and not
for
being...
For forcing that conversation upon us. Yes. I feel like we handled it well.
It's not as light and playful as the Algasm.
No.
moving forward. At Diogenes of SJ, Ojale belongs on the boat with his defensive switches. Ojale is slowly earning his way onto the Baines big boat.
He's building a boat resume, let me tell you. And I like official nominations, they'll be taken into account at the end of the week. I got to say, if you want to nominate someone for the boat, just let us know. Hashtag Raining Jays.
Certainly. Nominations are completely accepted. Shout out to Mauricio Green, who said that Kyrie Irving can't and don't like to defend. Three-guard lineups aren't worked this year as they worked last year. Am I right? Why? Okay, so two questions there. Who said Kyrie can't play defense? Will it, we talked about that.
All of Celtics Twitter for the past 12 months.
Everybody, yes. But like we said, he's trying. He's doing good work. Three guard lineups don't work this year like they worked last year. Why? I guess the guards are different. It's different when you throw Shane Larkin out there.
I mean, yeah, the three guard lineups, like they started the second quarter with Larkin, Rozier, and Smart. Like that lineup's not really destined for anything. I think the three-guard lineups with Kyrie, Rozier, and Smart have worked out pretty well this year. So I would disagree. I think with the whole thing we talked about last year was them not working and that they over-relied on the three-guard lineup. So, I don't know. I would disagree with that take. I think the three-guard is working out fine for the Celtics right now.
Yeah. What else is on here? I know. There's some talk about Geno time. So,
that's a good transition to the junk drawer because the Geno time, that's how we can wrap it up.
Yeah. So, Ananya Dalal tweeted out the It's Rain Jay's Twitter Geno, which is Jay King doing the Zaza. And let's see, there was another one in there. Celtics Manila, this Geno time DMP must be answered. So, they didn't do Geno time in the garden.
No, they had plenty of opportunity to do it. They had the opportunity to do it against the Knicks as well, and they decided against it. They did it. I know in the Knicks game they played it after the game. I don't know what they did tonight because I went downstairs, but I'm for it. I think Geno should be retired. He's a product of yesteryear. What really made Geno was KG's fascination with it. I've been actually arguing this point for a while now, and now there's no one on the team who actually ever played with KG. it's time for the Celtics to find something new. I mean, we spent a whole thing this off season trying to pick a new intro song. Why would we not pick a new celebration song?
I'm pro Gino. I want Gino to stick around. I don't want, because KG had this fascination with him, which was awesome, but I don't want that to sully the experience for everybody else. Like, that's a legitimately fun moment. And I think
you can have fun listening to other songs. There's cool Italian guys dancing.
I would rather change. Let's focus on changing Welcome to the Jungle. Can we change that first? I like Geno Time. I think Geno Time should stick around. I think Geno Time sticking around allows us to remember how much KG enjoys Geno Time. And why would we want to retire that? We want that memory. Keep doing it. I'm very pro Geno Time.
I mean, I'm pro Geno guy time. Like, in general, just the video, that guy can dance. And I'm just I'm a fan of anyone who's got moves like that. But you know what? If it doesn't connect with this Celtics team, then I don't think you need to force it on them. I'm like, why not just play it at other times? It doesn't have to be the blowout song. We can just have Geno, we can watch him dance at any point in the game. The Jumbotron, the most entertaining things on the Jumbotron are just when you find those good dancers in the crowd. Just play some Geno. It doesn't have to be a blowout. Just give the people what they want.
All right, let's do the junk drawer. People want the junk drawer. So if we give people what they want, this is it.
This is a world-renowned segment. People have all come up to me on the streets and say, are you Sam Packard? And I say, no, I'm Jam Packard. And they say, oh, junk drawer. Yep. That was a junk statement. I don't even know where I was going with that. Okay, junk drawer. Here we go. Getting to see Pop talk before the game was fascinating. He just like went on for 20 minutes, and he seemed to be enjoying it. And he had this really long explanation for like his relationship developing with LaMarcus Aldridge and kind of how they fixed that, because there's all this talks of trade rumors, and then LaMarcus got an extension. And it's just really cool to hear his perspective and like his perspective on coaching and how he approached LaMarcus and why it went badly initially. I just suggest everyone can, if they – you can find that video probably on Spurs.com or Celtics.com. I thought it was really cool. Another thing that Pop said is he compared Aaron Baines to Dave Cowens. He said clearly they're not in the same league, but he like reminds him of Dave Cowens. And then Aaron Baines was asked of that and had no idea who Dave Cowens was, which I think is hilarious. Let's see. Oh, man, I had a lot less junk drawer tonight than I thought I did. Shouts to Jimmy Garoppolo, just hot dude, gotta say it again. Speaking of people dancing on the Jumbotron, there's nothing better than, like, is just a fat white guy on the Jumbotron who can dance, especially if he's a really good dancer, and there's one of those tonight. So shout out to that guy. Brandon Paul had, like, a sneaky good game, and I had to look up who he was, but random San Antonio Spur, who I thought played well. Shouts to Brandon Paul. Yabu looks like a bull in a china shop, and I'm so glad he made a three. It was amazing. But every like just watching him walk out onto the court or just run is amazing. And then finally, I keep on trying to like come up with a metaphor for like Jason Tatum's length, and I keep on saying Tatum is longer than, and then I immediately my brain goes to like a male porn star, and that's just not what I'm trying to go for. So if someone can come up with like a good metaphor for Tatum is longer than blank, I'm all ears, because I got my junk brain immediately goes to graphic things that he's a 19-year-old kid. He doesn't need to be compared to that.
Yeah, let's just anyway.
All right, that wraps it up for me. I was a little low on junk tonight. I was too impressed by the quality basketball to pay attention to random other things.
I got two things. I made a comment about I quoted Homer Simpson, and I'm really disappointed in how many people don't understand the Creamy Middles joke that I made on Twitter. That is Google Homer Simpson B-Rant. The terrifying lows, dizzying highs, Creamy Middles. That is all Homer Simpson, man. If I say something that's just so randomly weird and you feel like you need to tweet me what I said with a question mark, just take that phrase and add Homer Simpson to it, and you'll probably get your answer, because it's one of the greatest Homer Simpson defending his pile of sugar rants. That is one of the all-time classic Homer Simpson quotes. Like, just Google it, enjoy it. It's spectacular.
So. Oh, here's the best way. You have one more? Because I've got the perfect way to wrap up the show.
Oh, yeah, sure. My last thing was shout out to the Brad Stevens, Greg Popovich bromance, which every time the Celtics and Spurs play each other, those two guys have to say, like, the most amazing, loving things about each other. I love their relationship. I think it's amazing how much they respect and just genuinely like each other as people. So that it's really my favorite thing in the Brad Stevens era, how much he and Pop get together and love each other, and how much Popovich will just gush about Stevens the whole time he's talking about him.
Oh, yeah, they're huge fans of one another. But here's the best way to wrap up the episode, because tomorrow, when the fans are listening to it, it will be Halloween. What is your favorite Treehouse of Horror episode from The Simpsons?
Homer, the one where Homer makes the deal with the devil, and the devil is Flanders.
Ned Flanders. Yeah. That is a very good one. Mine's a tie between Hugo, Bart's twin.
Yep.
Just because it has the line, too crazy for Boys Town, too much of a boy for Crazy Town. And then Kodos and Kang become Bill Clinton and Al Gore. And those are in the same Treehouse of Horror episode. That one, like the constantly twirling towards freedom, is one of my favorite Simpsons lines. So shout out to The Simpsons, shout out to Halloween, shout out to Treehouse of Horror, shout out to the Celtics for being 5 wins in a row and the greatest basketball franchise in the history of time.
Who was it? See, what I love about the Homer, the devil in Homer Simpson, the forbidden donut, is who was in that trial? Who was in that jury? It was like the Philadelphia Flyers. Who was in that? Jeez, I can't remember. Lizzie Borden was in the jury. Who else? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, go look that up. That's really one of it. Cause that one also had, the Twilight Zone parody and, something else. But anyway. All right. Great place to end it. Quality Simpsons references all around.
Jay King's going to love it.
Jay King. Yeah. He'll be very confused for a solid 20 minutes of this podcast. I don't even know if he listens when he's not on.
Because clearly, he didn't get the boat thing. So
no, he doesn't. I don't know. Like I listen. I listen when I'm not on.
I listen every day.
It's my favorite Celtics podcast is the Locked On Celtics podcast when I'm not on.
I can't listen to myself. That'd be too self-indulgent.
Well, I mean, I do listen to some of the shows that we do just as like a, you know, kind of like watching game film. Like, oh, I could have done this differently, or Shut Up, John, or something like that. Just trying to consistently get better for you, the listener. But with you and Jay, like, that's my, like, what other Celtics podcast would I want to listen to? You guys are the best. So, but Jay, I don't know if Jay King listens to us.
You know what? But that's what makes the kid special. You know,
his own thing, man.
Yeah. I'll go have a talk with him right now in the media room. I'm just going to rip out his headphones. Yeah. I'm going to slap his laptop to the ground and say we need to have a serious talk. Yeah. I'll embarrass him in front of all his writer friends. It'll be good times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. Public humiliation is great. I'm all for it. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you are not a regular subscriber to the Locked On Celtics podcast, you know what to do. Wherever you get your podcast, subscribe, hit that button. Give us 5 stars. If you are a subscriber, leave us a good review wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. Let the other folks know that they should be listening to us, because you don't get all this shit everywhere else. Only here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're here for you Monday through Friday, so you can take us wherever you go, whatever you do. That's what we are here for. So thanks for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.